And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. I am live from Glenburnie, Maryland with Carwin. Carwin, how you doing?
Doing good. I just ate. Belly's nice and full, satisfied. Ready to get this show on the road, Vincent.
Yeah. Oh, look at this headline. Michael Thomas is going to play this weekend. He is set to face
it.
Yeah, I'm not playing him in fantasy. Forget that.
Well, I got to. I got a choice.
Yeah, but you're playing against me.
Yeah.
Shoot, that's you might need to make up for JaMychal Hasty and Jordan Reed's performance yesterday.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones only got 12 points. Normally he's good for 25.
I mean, I'll take it. It's more than Hasty. I'll take that.
More than Hasty and Reed combined, right?
I should have put in Richie.
Oh, yeah, we all should have put in Richie. Right. I checked the ESPN. He was rostered on 0% of teams.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, me either.
I didn't know he was questionable beforehand.
Yeah, I think he had like an ankle injury or something. Guy had 184 yards on 9 catches and a touchdown. That's crazy. Yeah. And then he was the only receiver that did something besides Trent Taylor, who had 1 catch for 9 yards. The rest were tight ends and running backs. Devontae Adams had a great game, 10 catches, 173 yards, and a touchdown, 12 targets. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, his only 2 targets were for touchdowns, so, you know, good for him after he had, like, a drop early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I would have predicted the Packers to win. I don't know about you.
No, I definitely did. I predicted them to win by a 7-9 point spread for my bets. I didn't expect them to win by double 49ers points, so...
Gotcha.
Guess to be expected when you lose so many of your stars.
Yeah. Yeah. 49ers had nobody. All right. So you got the Seahawks and the Bills. This might be the game of the day in terms of, like, you know, records. You know, Seahawks are 6-1. Bills are 6-2. Two pretty formidable teams. DK Metcalf actually being outshined by Stephon Diggs a little bit. Well, maybe not. Metcalf has 36 catches, 680 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Diggs, he has more yards, but he has 18 more catches as well and 4 less touchdowns. So, yeah, DK's playing better for sure. Chris Carson not playing. Carlos Hyde not playing. It's going to be the DJ Dallas show again for the Seattle Seahawks. And then T.J. Yeldon, he's not going to be playing, but he hasn't really been much of a factor, and he won't be since Zach Moss is back.
Mm-hmm.
Singletary's playing. I got the Seahawks on this one, man. I think they're a better team. I know their defense probably won't show up, but maybe the addition of Carlos Dunlap will help them out in this game. Get the Josh Allen and whatnot. It seems like in both of the big games that the Bills have played this year against, like, formidable teams, they haven't, you know, come up on top, you know, against the Chiefs and the Titans. They lost both of those games, and I think they'll lose another game, a close one, to another formidable opponent in the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to give the Seahawks this game. I'm going to say 34-30.
You ready for me?
I've been ready for you, Carwin. Okay. Also, the over-under is 55. I think I'll take the over on that.
Did you pick it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have 2 good quarterbacks playing. Josh Allen is much improved from last year from not having a 300-yard passing game. He has that this year, finally, and a 400-yard passing game, if you will believe that. Russell, right now, MVP favorite still with a... Rodgers probably right behind him, and then Mahomes, and believe it or not, Josh Allen was in the MVP running the first, like, 3 weeks of the season, right, Vincent?
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, you know, he had 307-yard passing game against the Jets, and then, you know, like you said, he never had a 300-yard passing game. He's had 4 this year, including a 415-yard passing game against the Dolphins, and he had a 288-yard passing game against the Oakland Raiders as well. So he's been doing pretty good. He's averaging I don't know how much he's averaging per game, around 300.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple games where he was around 150, under 150, but you know, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, much improved season for Josh Allen, and I expect him and Diggs to keep their rapport going. Russell has definitely got an explosive offense with Metcalf and Lockett. they can both go for 2 to 3 touchdowns or 200 yards on any given Sunday. And even though they're going to be without their number 1 and 2 string running backs, DJ Dallas, he filled in. He filled his role pretty respectably. His yards per carry weren't that good, but he got in the end zone twice, which is pretty significant. So, overall, I see this being a good scoring game. I say Seattle wins this 35-30. Wait, is that what you said?
I said 34-30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, no 3-point field goals? All touchdowns?
Nah, so Seattle's going to get all touchdowns. And
they're going to miss an extra point.
And then the
Bills. I mean, for like Seattle is what I mean.
No
field goals? Just all touchdowns?
Yeah, Seattle all touchdowns. Yeah, okay. 5 touchdowns, 35 points. And then the Bills, they're going to have 1 missed PAT, which is going to give them the 27 points. And they're going to kick a field goal to try and get the ball back. And Seattle's going to turn the clock.
Okay.
That's your brother right there.
Francisco Lindor is not my brother.
We all know who is.
Nah, not Talia Tagovailoa either. Mm-hmm. All right, the Denver Broncos are playing against the Atlanta Falcons. I'll tell you what, the Broncos, they really shocked me. I'm a publicly apologize to them for counting them out of this game before they even got the play. Drew Lock and the boys came back on the Los Angeles Chargers last week, and what looked like was going to be a rout for the Chargers, as the Broncos outscored the Chargers 21-6 in the fourth quarter. Really, really shocking to see the Chargers go down like that. You know, they've lost 3 games this year where they were up 17, but we'll get to that in a second. Calvin Ridley's questionable for the Falcons. Dante Fowler's out for the Broncos. Key players, AJ Boye's out. Bryce Callahan's questionable. So you're already depleted in the secondary in Denver. So you already know Julio's going to go off for probably 100 yards. And I see you dancing there. I don't know if you're dancing that Julio's going to have a much more favorable matchup this week. That's not really nice, you know.
No Ridley. That's good enough.
Oh, no Ridley. Wow, okay. So, yeah, Atlanta's favored by 4. Over-under's 50. I'd take the over, and then I would take Atlanta to win this game. I think they just have too much firepower on offense. And, you know, ever since the Dan Quinn show has ended, you know, they've won their last two games. So, excuse me. They won 2 out of their last 3, you know, since they fired Mr. Quinn. I think they'll be able to keep up the streak they have going. What do you have a question about, Carwin?
I didn't know they beat the Vikings that bad. I don't remember that.
Yeah, they beat the Vikings pretty badly. That was when Jefferson had, like, 2 touchdowns and, like, 100-something yards.
He did.
It was like garbage.
Dalvin Cook, I don't think he played that game.
He did not. Yeah. He didn't play that game, and then they had a bye week, and then he just came back last week. Yeah, Dalvin Cook did not play that game.
Yeah. Whew. The Broncos, they're hard to figure out. They took down the Patriots. They fell behind pretty badly against the who'd they play?
The Chiefs. The Chargers last week. Yeah,
against fell behind pretty badly against the Chargers. It looked like the Chargers had that in the bag, and it's been the theme the whole season for the Chargers. They get a big lead, they lose it. The Chargers just can't seem to be clutch in close games. I don't know, whatever the reason may be. Drew Lock, they roared back, scored a last minute touchdown, and this week they got the Falcons with the worst number 1 pass defense in the league. If not number 1, it's definitely top 3. And it looks like the Broncos are starting to get a little bit more healthy. You didn't have Drew Lock for a few games. Lindsey was in and out of the lineup. Melvin Gordon had a DUI, so he couldn't play a game. Sutton's out for the year. What else? Was anybody else hurt? Oh, one of their other receivers is hurt too as well. But they're starting to get back more healthy with Drew Lock being back. Lindsey, Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy's still there. Deshaun, KJ Hamler is back. So I see the Broncos, they have some offensive weapons. So it's just going to come down to being able to execute the game plan and coaching and being able to get in the end zone and getting some stops. Especially for the Falcons. It's going to be hard for the Falcons to do with that porous defense. But I got the Broncos winning this game. I said that they win 25 to.
Got the Broncos winning.
Yeah. Wow. Broncos 25 to 15 Broncos.
You don't think the Falcons can get more than 15 points against the Broncos?
I think they can, but with them not having Ridley, I think it's going to affect them pretty badly because
Julio's going to focus on Julio more.
They're going to focus on Julio. The other receivers are in.
Russell Gage and Christian Blake. And
Todd Gurley.
Olaius Akius.
He's okay. He's good at getting in the end zone, but he's not gonna get you down the field with 15, 20-yard runs again, unless you're playing to like Green Bay or something like that. So I kind of see Atlanta having trouble scoring against the Broncos.
Okay.
So,
I don't think I said my score for the Atlanta-Denver game. I got 33.
Mm.
Yeah, 33-27.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Next game, the Baltimore Ravens play the Colts. I don't know how the hell the Ravens are a 1-point favorite over the Colts. 1.5 as of this afternoon. I'll tell you what, the Colts, they're going to be down some receivers possibly. With T.Y. Hilton and Marcus Johnson and Mo Alley Cox, a tight end, questionable. For the defensive side of the ball, it's the Ravens that might be affected. Marlon Humphrey's already going to be out. He had 7 other players that were in close contact with him this week. Thankfully, Matthew Judon came back, and the rest of them should be able to come back this Sunday. Jimmy Smith's questionable, but he'll probably play. I just don't understand how the Ravens... I feel like they should be a little bit more respectable than this, but, Lamar Jackson leads the team in rushing yards with 411 on 66 carries. Jonathan Taylor, on the other hand, has 100 carries for 389 yards. It's less than 4 yards a carry, but he might get it together this weekend. And then it doesn't seem like it, but T.Y. Hilton's the leading receiver in Indianapolis. Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem like it. Only 22 receptions for 251 yards, though. Phillip Rivers has been spreading that ball around. He almost has 2,000 passing yards. So, but I think the Ravens will win this game. I think they're way too talented, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We will see, though. It's going to be an interesting matchup. The Colts are on a 2-game winning streak as they beat the Bengals and they beat the Lions. They put up 40 on the Lions last week, so that'll be interesting. Ravens coming off a tough loss against Pittsburgh, but prior to that winning their previous 3. Against subpar opponents, so keep that in mind. But Colts, winners of 4 out of their last 5, so keep that in mind. But I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one, and I'm going to give the Ravens 27-20.
Okay. So this game, the Ravens and Colts, we got the reigning MVP versus Rivers, who's a turnover machine. He certainly can be, but the last couple games, I got to give it to him. He has been playing exceptionally well, better than I expected. Coming into the season, I definitely didn't have these expectations for the Colts, considering I didn't believe in Rivers, and I still don't. But he's doing better than I expected him to be and put them in a better position as they're 5-2.
5-2.
And their defense is definitely a lot better than I remember. I don't remember their defense being this good. The defense is top of the league in takeaways and points scored. Some I don't know about like number one top in the league, but they're definitely up there. And the Ravens, they've had a shaky first half of the season, definitely. Lamar, he's not looked like his MVP self, but his ceiling is definitely unlimited. He's shown as an MVP that he has the ability and all the talent in the world to do what it takes to be able to win a game with his legs, and he still has definitely room for improvement as far as passing the ball. No, his receiver, his number one receiver, Brown, he wasn't happy with the touches and lack of targets. So I expect him to get what he's been asking for, and I expect him to throw maybe about at least 10 targets his way. He'll probably have 5 catches for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns. And they need to keep Andrews involved, who's their best pass catcher for possession, and he has a knack for getting in the end zone. So I think they need to keep him involved, and they have a strong running game. Even though Ingram is doubtful and won't play, as you saw, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins are more than capable of handling that ball. And they did it against the number one run defense, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
265 yards.
Wow. So I think they can definitely do what it takes to beat the Colts this week. And I got the Steelers winning this game.
Steelers?
I mean,
the Ravens.
The Ravens. Yeah, I got the Ravens winning this game 31-28.
Okay. Yeah, I got the Steelers beating Dallas too.
Wait, what was your prediction for this game?
I said 27-20.
Oh, okay.
All right. Houston is playing Jacksonville. These two teams, they played each other not too long ago. Houston coming up on top 30-14. I think it'll be a repeat performance. This is Houston's only win of the year against those Jaguars. Jaguars are in the middle of a 5-game losing streak, as their only win comes against the Colts in week one. Yeah, I know. Gardner Minshew's not playing this week. It looks like it's going to be Jake Luton. Lutton?
I just called him Lutton.
I don't know how his name's pronounced. But we know Deshaun Watson's playing.
Mm-hmm.
We know David Johnson's playing. We know Brandon Cooks and all those boys are playing. Texans, 7-point favorite. Over-under is 50.5. Probably to take it. I don't know how this Luton guy is going to do. I didn't mention Will Fuller. Will Fuller, he'll be playing. He'll be playing. Normally around this time of year, he's not playing, but he'll be playing this time. James Robinson's going to come back, and he's gonna be eating it up, as he has been all season. I expect this game to be high scoring. I kind of would like to see Minshew in this game. I feel like this game will be more competitive, but we got to see how this one kid does. He's starting over Mike Glenn. I guess he must be decent. Give me the Texans in this one, 30-24.
All right. Yeah, so we have 2-1-6 teams. Division rivalry game, Texans and Jaguars. It's not looking like either one of those are going to come out on top of the division. It's definitely going to be the Titans. But, it's definitely more competitive between the Titans and, of course, the Texans and the Jaguars easily at the bottom. And we have Watson versus Lutton. If you look at Watson and Minshew, they're not really that far off. I mean, Watson just had 2 more touchdowns than Minshew does. So, the fact that Minshew won't be playing is definitely, I think, going to affect them. And I don't think that Minshew definitely gets enough credit, because I feel like, honestly, I really don't think that this injury, it doesn't mean anything that Minshew is out, because they were already talking about benching him anyways, Vincent. So I don't think that's really fair to Minshew. The Jaguars' problems go beyond Minshew. They need more respectable defensive players, because it wasn't that long ago when they had the best defense in the league with Ramsey and Calais Campbell and Miles.
Ngakoue.
Yeah, Ngakoue, all those
people. I can name that whole defense. I can name the starting 12.
See, that defense was historic.
Starting 11, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that defense was historic.
You had Barry Church and A.J. Boye.
Yeah, Deshaun Gibson.
Deshaun Gibson, and then mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey. Had Miles Jack, Malik Jackson, Paul Posluszny,
mm-hmm.
Calais Campbell, Yannick mm-hmm. Ngakoue. Which one
Dante
am I missing?
Fowler.
Dante Fowler, yeah. Oh, my God. We just named all 11 of them. Like, that's how good they were.
Yeah, so
Jaguars have given up over 30 the last 5 games. So
that's what I'm saying.
And it's not like Minshew's, setting them up for failure. I mean, he's had 5 interceptions. It's not like Jameis Winston would have had 12 by now at this point of the season. Yeah. Probably 15, halfway through the season. He had 30 interceptions last year.
13 to 5 isn't a bad touchdown interception ratio.
Yeah, that's almost 2-1.
Yeah, So,
but it's not the best, but
yeah. And then
or almost 3-1, I should say.
Yeah, and then Deshaun Watson, he's been plagued by bad management from above. They got rid of arguably the best receiver in the league, Hopkins, for David Johnson. Don't get me wrong, he's a quality running back, but as far as if you're looking at the impact on the team, you would much rather have Hopkins.
Look at the Cardinals.
Yeah, see?
Look at the Cardinals now.
You would much rather have Hopkins on your team than David Johnson.
Yeah.
And so he's been plagued by things like that. And then you got people like J.J. Watt saying they want out. They don't want to
play. He doesn't want to be part of the rebuild.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be part of the rebuild. So it's a lot of turmoil going down on the Texans, which isn't fair to Deshaun Watson, because Bill O'Brien, when it was terrible at management. So
yeah.
I think I definitely got the Texans winning this one. Don't know how good this Lutton person is going to do. Apparently, he was, based off of what I saw, he's kind of average playing for Oklahoma State. I know the Jaguars organization said that he was going to spread the offense and air it out deep and blah, blah, blah. Even if he does, the Texans don't got a good defense either. So I can see if he does do good, I wouldn't take too much out of that. But Deshaun Watson, I see winning this game. He's just a better overall QB than whoever this Lutton person is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they have more playmakers. They got Will Fuller, Cooks, Stills, Cobb, David Johnson, Darren Fells. Whereas the Jaguars, just Keelan Cole's their leading receiver. How many people, when you talk football, are going to know Keelan Cole? Not that many.
Not too many.
So,
if anything, they know DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, D.D. Westbrook's been a healthy scratch. Yeah. So.
Well, he has a torn ACL now.
Yeah, that now he's got that even worse. So I see the Texans winning this game 31-14.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right, Chicago.
Did you do yours?
Yeah,
oh, I did. What'd you say?
I can't remember my score right now. we'll listen to it. We'll play it back. Tennessee's playing Chicago. You must be a bad listener, Carwin.
I just don't remember you saying it.
Yeah. That means you're not listening to what I'm saying.
That's a good listener, based off what my girl says.
Okay, bro.
Spike, man.
look at Corey Davis being the leading receiver for the Titans. Just kidding. AJ Brown hasn't played that many games this year. Bears 5-3, Tennessee 5-2. You're gonna have a good defense versus a good offense. Mitchell Trubisky, he's not playing this week, no matter what. It'll be the Nick Foles show. Tennessee's not going to have newly acquired cornerback Desmond King. They're not going to have Adam Humphries. Oh, they're not going to have Brett Kern either, their punter. That'll be interesting. I still think the Titans average 9 more points a game, but they allow 6 more points a game. They almost have 100 more total yards as well, but they allow around 45 more points or 45 more yards allowed. I think, they had an upset loss against Cincinnati last week, but I think the Titans will have a good enough offense to beat this Bears defense. I don't think the Bears have a good enough offense to keep up with the Titans offense. Titans are favored by, I think, 7. No, they're favored by 6.5. Over-under is 46.5. I can definitely see that game going over because of Chicago's pathetic offense. But I got Tennessee. I got Tennessee winning this game. I'm going to give them 27, mm-hmm. 27 to 17. Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky's out.
I thought he was just being benched.
He's out.
Is he hurt?
I guess so.
I didn't even know he was hurt. All right, Bears and Titans. I think the Titans are a better team, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears won just because they have that ferocious defense. overall, just because the Bears got a good defense and they have a bad offense at the same time, I don't see the game allowing too many points. So I think the Titans can win this with they give the ball to Henry, play action, throw it to Davis and A.J. Brown. Foles, he's ever since he was with the Eagles, he hasn't been really been the been the same player to me. He's probably just benefiting from the scheme. They got, I mean, I just think they need a little more. I mean, they got Allen Robinson, Montgomery. He's not really cutting it. I mean, he's below average based off of what I see as far as his rushing numbers and what I see.
He only has one rushing touchdown this year.
So they don't have a running game to speak of. They need more help. Outside of Allen Robinson, it looks like this Darnell Mooney person is starting to prove to be a formidable weapon as well alongside him. But we'll see more as the season goes if he can provide that consistency. But I got this game being 10-16, Tennessee Titans winning this one.
Okay. You got Kansas City playing Carolina Panthers. Kansas City is favored to win this game by 10.5, so you need them to win by 11. You need the over-under to be 53. I can see this game going over 53. Christian McCaffrey's coming back this week. I don't think it's really going to do much for the Panthers, though. Nothing to take away from McCaffrey, but they're just too talented on offense. The Chiefs are. I'll tell you what, Robbie Anderson's having a great year. 51 catches, 688 yards, just one touchdown, but he's doing pretty well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 121 carries, 570 yards, only two rushing touchdowns. His touches have gone down a little bit since Le'Veon's been acquired. Patrick Mahomes has 21 touchdowns and one interception already. That's insane. Compared to Bridgewater, Bridgewater has 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Not really much to talk about here. Both of these teams are putting up a lot on offense. They're also giving up a lot on defense as well. Both of them have pretty bad rush defenses, so expect McCaffrey to go off. And Edwards-Helaire, you know, you probably don't need him to go off with Mahomes at quarterback. Chiefs winners of 4 out of their last 5, scoring over 26 each of those games. Panthers, losers of 3 in a row. I think they'll be losers of 4 in a row after this. Give me the Chiefs, 40 to 27.
Okay.
40 to 27. McCaffrey will get 3 touchdowns. 40. No, 2. He'll get 2.
No. Playing against him. Anyways, Panthers and the Chiefs. Panthers, the 3-5 team versus the Super Bowl champion 7-1 teams. Panthers, they've had a shaky season. They had some surprising wins that I wouldn't have expected them to pull off. They beat
the Chargers.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers. They beat the Falcons. The Falcons, and there's one more
team. They beat Arizona.
And Arizona.
By 10.
Yeah, that's the most unexpected one. I didn't expect them. Wouldn't have expected them to beat Arizona. So, seems to me like they're one of those teams that tend to beat the teams that they shouldn't. But I don't expect that to happen today. The Chiefs, they're just way too good. They got the best quarterback in the league. I really don't see me betting against the Chiefs anytime soon, no matter who I see them playing against. They just seem like far and away.
What if they play Oakland again?
Yeah, but even coming into that game, I wouldn't have even bet against them. I just don't. I mean, I guess I could maybe, as far as like firepower, like toe-to-toe, I could probably see it being a close game between Seattle or something or Arizona, but still, I would, at the end of the day, it's too hard to bet against Mahomes.
He's
too good. Their system is good. Reed is a good coach. They got the best tight end in the league and the fastest player in the league, probably safe to say. Definitely fastest receiver in the league. So it's too hard to just stop what their offense, because you stop one, then another one is open. So I see the Chiefs winning this one 38-21.
All right. The New York football Giants are playing against the Washington football team. Washington, that's your team, man.
No, I'm saying that game was going to suck.
But you're a Washington football team fan.
I mean, I'm going to pick them to win. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The game won't be entertaining.
I'll tell you what, the Redskins, the football team only allows 207 passing yards a game. But I mean, when you're up against them, you know, you don't really have to pass against them, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Giants, they only allow 102 rushing yards a game. That's crazy. Redskins, they beat Dallas 25-3. Lost their
lost their previous four. And, one second.
Oh, no, we're good.
Sorry. Sorry, we're live from Carwin's house. Yeah, I had to make sure that was going on. Okay, anyway, Washington, both of these teams have lost four out of their last five. Giants' only win was against Washington. As mentioned earlier, Daniel Jones, out of his four career wins, three of them were against the Washington football team. His fourth one might come this weekend, but I don't think it will. Give me the Redskins on this one. Give me the Redskins on this one. Devontae Freeman's not playing. So Wayne Gallman, he might do something. If you need a fantasy running back, pick up Wayne Gallman. Yeah. Yeah, give me the Redskins. Give me McLaurin for 100 yards and two touchdowns, too.
Oh, you finished?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. This game isn't anything to write home about. I mean, it's the worst division of football. Believe it or not, any one of these two teams could come out on top. Giants definitely with the worst odds. The Redskins, they got a pretty good defense, probably better than people would think, just because they're the Washington football team. But Daniel Jones, he just turns the ball over way too much. Like, you're not going to win games playing the way Daniel Jones plays. So, and the Redskins, being the good defense that they are, they're definitely going to get after him and probably end up getting some turnovers from him in that offense. So, I expect this to be a lower scoring game just because both offenses aren't that very productive. So, I see the Redskins winning this game 19-10.
All right. So the next game is Detroit and Minnesota. The last of the 1 o'clock games we're going to discuss. Did I say my Washington football team score? I don't think I did. Give me the Washington football team.
Oh yeah, you said that.
24-23. Maybe Kyle Allen will. Maybe he'll go for the extra point this time instead of going for two. Minnesota's heavily favored to win. Wait, as... Huh?
You mean Daniel Jones? Wait, didn't Daniel Jones win that went for two against Tampa?
No, I'm talking about how Ron Rivera, when they went for two against the Giants instead of kicking the game-time extra point. Right, yeah. Minnesota, they're favored to win 72%. I don't see their money line here, their spread. But the Vikings, there's going to be no Kenny Galladay for the Lions, no Matthew Stafford. I think that's enough indication that their offense is going to play pretty bad on Sunday. And I think the Vikings will do just enough. I think they'll do just enough to get their first home win. And plus, Dalvin Cook will be playing. Justin Jefferson's playing, Thielen's playing, so Vikings aren't really missing much from offense. The Lions are missing their quarterback and their best receiver. So give me the Vikings on this one, 30-16.
Okay. I'm trying to find his eyes. I can't find him. let's see. Yeah, the Lions, they have quite a few COVID instances, so Matt Stafford is currently in testing. As long as
there are no betting odds for the Vikings game.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's weird. I guess you just gotta take over and under.
No, nothing. Alright. Anyway.
Yeah. So Stafford, he's going through a COVID protocol as a high risk. So hopefully he can test negative for all his tests and end up playing. To actually give them a chance, since they're not gonna have Galladay.
Well, I thought Stafford was already ruled out.
Based on what I saw, he was just put on the COVID-19 list, and it said he could be eligible to play if he keeps testing negative. So, yeah. But if Stafford ends up playing, I give them a better chance. But I still don't think they're gonna win the game. The Vikings, they have a really seem to have a a really good run game and Dalvin Cook. I think the Lions are going to have a hard time stopping that. And if they do, I mean, they still got two top-tier receivers. The Lions, they're going to be without Galladay. They don't have much of a run game. They have a potentially promising run game because I like what I've seen from Dee Swift, but it's overall, it's still not very good. And you're just going to have to rely on the Lions probably just playing with backups. So you saw what happened when the 49ers did that. So I got the Vikings winning this game 26-14.
Maybe that's a reason there's no money line or spread out yet, because they're probably waiting to see if Stafford plays or not first.
Yeah, wow.
I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I believe
that. That's how they work with this stuff, man.
Oh, because the COVID.
Mm-hmm. All right, five more games to cover. The Vegas Raiders are playing the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers. Oh, now the spread's even. When I was out in Charlestown earlier, it was -1. Need the Chargers to win by 2. I really don't know. I think the Chargers will somehow win this game. But these teams, they play pretty close. You know, both of these teams averaging 26-27 a game. They allow between 26-29 a game. Los Angeles gets more passing yards and more rushing yards. And they both allow around 380 yards on defense, but I think the Chargers will somehow come out on top, and I think Justin Herbert has something to prove. You know, the Chargers have lost 4 out of their last 5, and in doing so, they put up 30, 39, 27, 31, and 16, but you can cancel that out. So Justin Herbert's been playing well, but as we mentioned, they just cannot hold on to leads. They blew 3 17-point leads against the Denver Broncos, the New Orleans Saints, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, not a good look for them. But on the bright side, at least they're putting up numbers on offense, and Justin Herbert's looking like the quarterback of the future. But give me the Chargers in this game. Give me 34-31 over those Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders and Chargers. Either one of these teams can take it, of course. Chargers, I think Herbert's playing at a better level than the Raiders QB. So it's always good when your quarterback is, and you trust him to play better than the quarterback on the other team. So I think Herbert's going to have himself a good game. He's got a good rapport with Keenan Allen. They've been without Austin Ekeler this season, which hurts. But Jackson and Kelly, they've been filling the role
Pope, you
know, pretty well.
Don't forget about your boy Pope.
He ain't playing.
Oh, is he out?
Let's see. Doubtful.
Oh, okay. Tremaine Pope is doubtful. Okay.
So he's going right back to the bench where he should have been in the first place. But anyways, the Raiders, they're up and down. As long as the Chargers, once they get a lead, they need to start running the ball a little bit more to control that clock so they stop leaving the lead, stop losing the lead. I mean, I know, Herbert is a good, promising young quarterback. They just, you know, I'm sure they like to keep getting him reps. He likes airing that ball out and throwing it deep. He's definitely surprised me this season. I didn't expect him to play this well. And I got the Chargers winning this game.
30-21. All right. Next game. We're not really going to get cute here. Steelers are playing the Cowboys. Cowboys don't even know who's starting at quarterback. It's either going to be Cooper Rush or Garrett Graham. Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah.
Garrett Graham. He used to be a tight end somewhere.
Okay.
Garrett Gilbert, former Cleveland Browns quarterback. Garrett Gilbert. Name sounds familiar. And then Cooper Rush, he was undrafted in 2017. Yeah. I never really heard of these guys. I don't really know much about them. I just know the Steelers are going to kick their ass. Give me the Steelers 33-10. I don't care who's starting at quarterback. I don't care if it's Danucci. I don't care if it's Graham or Gilbert. See, Gilbert, I don't care if it's Rush. I'll tell you, Rush is going to get rushed if he plays. You know. If you have Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott in your fantasy teams, please trade them. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. It'll do you good if you trade them.
But
Elliott might not even play. He may as well just sit out because his numbers are going to go down against his Pittsburgh defense anyway.
Yeah, the Steelers and Colts, I expect this to be a completely
one. Cowboys.
Oh, dang it. Yeah, the Steelers and Cowboys, expect this to be a completely one-sided game. The Cowboys season just fell apart ever since Dak went down. They went from being the number one scoring offense in the league to bottom of the barrel. No better than the Giants. As a matter of fact, they haven't had a touchdown in the last two games.
Yeah, they scored 9 points last week and then scored 3 points the week before. And then they scored 10 points against Arizona. Beforehand, they won that game. They won against the Giants 37-34. That was the Dak/Dalton game. And ever since then, it's just been downhill for that Cowboys offense.
Yeah, so hopefully this makes the Cowboys realize how big of an impact Dak just really had on that team. But I guess they still got a shot at winning the NFC East just because the division is so bad. So maybe if Dalton comes back, they got a chance. But, Steelers 7-0. They're going to be 8-0 after this game. So I got the Steelers winning this 31-3.
All right. Next game, Miami and Arizona. I'm really intrigued on how this game is going to be. I'd be more intrigued if Fitzpatrick was playing, but I think Kyler Murray and them, they're gonna kick some butt. No Miles Gaskin for the Dolphins. You have Parker, Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant. You got Matt Breida's not playing.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so that's why Patrick Laird's been up there. Yeah, Patrick Laird and Jordan Howard will be your running backs this weekend for Arizona. Okay, I might have to look into that. Cardinals won 3 in a row. They're on a hot streak right now. They beat their best win is against the Seahawks. They won 37-34. Miami winning 4 out of 5. Their only loss was against the Seahawks. So, they've done pretty well against the NFC West. This will be the last NFC West opponent that they have to face this year. They only lost by 8 to Seattle. I would not be surprised if Miami covers, but I really hope they don't. Kenyon Drake's not playing. It's going to be the Chase Edmonds show for Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. That'll be fun to watch. But I got Arizona winning this game. I think they can score another 30 bomb here. I'm going to give them 36. No, 34. 34-24. I think Miami can keep up with them for a little bit. Give me Arizona 34-24.
All right. Between these Dolphins and Cardinals, I think the Cardinals got this one in the bag. I didn't like what I saw from Tua. Granted, it was his first game, but I kind of see that being part of his learning curve running into the next couple games. Obviously, the Cardinals don't have as good as a rush as the Rams do, but they have a decent secondary. Buda Baker is making a case for Defensive Player of the Year, and you're just not going to – you can't expect your defense and special teams to score like how they did last week, much more like that.
Tua got lucky last week. Yeah. He had 92 passing yards.
Yeah, so
– 92. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Yeah, so I don't see – that happening again this week. If the Dolphins want to win, Tua's gonna have to show you something, and I don't see this week being that week. So
this Arizona offense is much better than that Rams offense.
Yeah, so I don't see this being the week for Tua to really do that much improvement. I think he'll throw more than 92 yards this week, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'll give him that, but
I'll give him 212. I'll give him 212.
I give him.
They're gonna be trailing, bro. They're not, and no Gaskin. Nah, they're gonna be airing that joint out.
I'll give him 180.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I'll give him 180. I think that the Cardinals are gonna win this one by more than 2 touchdowns. I think. I say they're definitely gonna be in the 30s. I get the Cardinals 32-16 Dolphins.
All right. Sunday night action. The New Orleans Saints are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady and the boys, 20-4. He has 20 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Drew Brees, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Michael Thomas expected to come back this week, Carwin. How do you feel about that? I think it should make a difference. Yeah, for both our fantasy teams, right? Yeah.
And the Saints' real-life team.
Fifth overall pick. Oh, the Saints, they've been doing pretty well, 5-2 without him. So.
But it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, I know. They lost to Green Bay, and then they lost to Buccaneers opening night. So, this will be the...
They did?
Yeah.
They beat them.
Did they? I could be wrong. Oh, no, I'm sorry. New Orleans, they lost to the Raiders and Green Bay back-to-back. They beat Tampa Bay. My apologies.
That's what I'm here for.
But I'm surprised the Buccaneers are such a big favorite, especially maybe because of the Antonio Brown signing. I'm not sure. But give me the Buccaneers on this one. I think they'll do a lot better than they did the first time around. Yeah. Godwin's questionable. He probably won't play. Mike Evans is going to play. Antonio Brown will make his debut. Mm-hmm. Quan Alexander is not going to play for the Saints. But give me the Buccaneers. Give me 30-27. Bucks favored 4.5.
Go down. I want to see the Bucks defense.
Wow.
Okay. Saints and Bucks, you got two historically great quarterbacks and definitely Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they keep passing each other for all-time passing touchdowns. Yeah.
So these are definitely two, probably, I'd say first ballot Hall of Famer. Definitely fair to say for both of them. They got the wins, they got the accolades, especially for Tom Brady. So it's going to be a good rivalry between two historically good QBs. And the Saints, they won the first matchup. It's going to be harder to win the second one because that was the very first game of the season. A lot of teams were kind of off sync with the whole COVID mess.
No training camp, yeah. no preseason.
Yeah, so Brady, no. And on top of that, Brady was coming into a new team, a new offense after being with New England for longer than a decade. So it definitely just took him a little time to get acclimated. He's got a bunch of weapons. He's got Mike Evans, Godwin. Even though O.J. Howard's out for the year, he's still got Gronk, Brady. He's got the addition of Antonio Brown, so he's got a lot of firepower. And then the Saints, they don't have as much as the Bucks, to be honest, but they have Alvin Kamara, who's probably the best running back in the league right now. I mean, he leads them in reception yards and rushing yards. I mean, how impressive is that? So they got him on their side, and they're going to have, hopefully, Michael Thomas back. So, they're going to put up a good fight. And I expect it to be a pretty entertaining game. Is this America's Game of the Week?
Yeah, Sunday night game.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I got the Bucks winning that game 32-28. No, I'll say 26-30 Bucks.
Okay. Yeah. And then the Monday night game, not to be outshined. No, just kidding. This game's going to suck. The Patriots and the Jets are playing each other. The Patriots are 2-5. The Jets are 0-8. It's the battle of mediocrity in the AFC East. Cam Newton, 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Sam Darnold, 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. N'Keal Harry is questionable. Ryan Izzo, Stephon Gilmore, Jameson Crowder, Sam Darnold, Rashad Perriman, Frank Gore, Vincent Smith. Almost the whole damn offense for the Jets is questionable this week. I think either way, the Patriots are going to win this game. The Jets are, they're 0-8. They're probably going to get Trevor Lawrence. They allow 406 yards a game. Patriots, God, they give up a lot of rushing yards. They allow 140 rushing yards a game. And they haven't even played the Ravens yet. And then total yards, the Jets... never mind. That's total yards that they get a game. 283. They average 11.8 points a game. You need 12 points to beat them, essentially. But I think it'll be a little bit higher scoring than that, especially if Gilmore doesn't play. Jets have lost all 8 of their games. Patriots have lost 4 in a row. Against some formidable competition, but, excuse me, still, like, they used to be a lot more competitive than this. But give me the Patriots. Over-under is 42. I'd probably take the under in this one, because both of these offenses are really not that good. So, yeah, give me the Patriots, 23-13.
Yeah, not much to write home about with these two teams. I mean, the Patriots, they don't have much talent on offense at all. None of those guys would start on any other team except for maybe Edelman, but he's not even playing. You're looking at him, Newton, throwing the undrafted free agents and undrafted receivers, a converted quarterback to receiver in Jacoby Myers, who was his leading receiver last week. So Newton's just, he's got a lot to handle with that team. He's got to put the team on his back. No, they can run the ball a little bit. And Belichick's still a really good coach. So I can see Newton having a couple rushing scores against his bad Jets defense and throwing for over 200 yards. So I think this will be a good get-right game for Newton, who's been, I would say, not having the most confidence as of lately. I mean, he had a really bad game, the game before the last one, where he had to get benched. And in the last game where they had the game in the bag, it seemed like they were at least going to get a field goal, and Newton fumbled it. So I think he's been feeling low confidence-wise, and I think this is a good game to get his confidence back up and get right, get some rhythm, get some momentum to right the ship for the Patriots that used to be the Patriot dynasty of Brady. And we got them winning that game 23-6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear Joe Namath, he said that Trevor Lawrence might make the things Trevor Lawrence could force a trade. If he gets drafted, could you imagine Trevor Lawrence forcing a trade if he got drafted by the Jets, Carwin? I don't. I would hope not.
Yeah, I don't see him doing that. Ultimately, he's achieving his dream of playing in the NFL. I mean, they can always manage and draft players and free agents to put a better team around them. So I think he'll just live with it.
Yeah, I think he will too, and he should. You know, be grateful that you're in the NFL, yeah, that you had the opportunity to play in there.
And you're going to be a first-round pick, better contract.
First overall pick. Like
contract, more money, so
yeah.
Endorsements, all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. Sorry for the brief pauses and whatnot. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will be back next week.